Welcome to Metaphysical Romp with Reverend Paul Hasselbeck and co-host Reverends Bill Holton and Cher Holton. Discover practical applications to bring 21st century metaphysics to work in your life. Here's your host, Paul Hasselbeck.
Welcome to another edition of Metaphysical Romp 2 MR2. This is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck having yet another beautiful day in my consciousness. And how could it be any other way when I'm here with my fantabulous co-host? Say hello, friends.
Hello, hello, hello. We agree. This is so much fun. And this is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton. And it is definitely another beautiful day in my consciousness.
And I am the third to agree. This is Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And it is very definitely another beautiful, beautiful day in my consciousness as well. And as you guys know, Cher and I are the co-founders of a hybrid unity ministry called the Unity Center for Universal Prosperity.com. And I emphasize that because I want to emphasize the Y-O-U-ness of universal, because it is about your spiritual growth.
And because, as you could tell, it is a long, long link to click to write. So we make it very easy for you. UCFYP.com.
And I have my website, paulhasselbeck.com, where you can find my calendar as well as the weekly blog called The Absolute Word. And so I think it's important we once in a while tell you what this show is all about. So we are all about mastering the art of living metaphysically, living from a view beyond our physical existence, a view that identifies with our innate divinity, while including our humanity, which consists of our personality and our bodies. We share about spirituality, pseudo-spirituality, science, and pseudoscience. And we pretty much let you decide which is which.
We just have fun.
I think we're having fun. Anyway, today we decided that we would revisit something. And the reason why we want to revisit is because in our work with individuals and groups, it's something that comes up almost every time. And that's a law that we do not believe in. It's the law of attraction. And in fact, I think that teaching is a distraction on how things really work. What do you guys want to add?
That's cool. We could call it the law of distraction when somebody brings it up now. I like that.
Yep. I do that often. Yes. And so the law of attraction is all about what you think and feel about, you will bring about in your life. And that's beyond your thinking, feeling nature in your consciousness, is that if you think and feel about something in just the right way, you vibrate in just the right way. So your vibration matches the vibration of what you're desiring, and it appears in your life. Well, that's a major distraction, isn't it?
Thank goodness that's not true, because I'm not sure we would all want everything we think about to show up in our life.
Right. That's the thing that's amazing. When people are so excited about the law of attraction, they don't even consider the things they think about and feel strongly about that never happened.
Right.
Listeners, longtime listeners, have heard me talk about my mother, who was a PhD in worrying, and much of the things she worried about, which is strong thinking and strong feeling, never happened. And then the sort of sarcastic thing I often bring up is, if this were really true, the human race would have died out at the first teenager. Because what teenager doesn't hate their parents at some point? And what parent doesn't hate their teenager at some point and kind of wish they were dead, right?
With emotion.
With strong emotion. Yeah. Yeah. And so those examples, while ridiculous, point out the importance of action, The importance of action. And I think this came about because of a misunderstanding of the law of mind action. But Bill, you look like you had something to say.
Well, I was thinking Unity's co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, reminds us that meditation is a wonderful thing, but you still got to move your feet.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think you're right, Paul, that the people do get that confused. And maybe what we want to focus on now is what do we believe about this that can really help our listeners?
Yes. So I want to say a little more about this thing called the law of mind action. And actually, in my creating this new book on the spiritual laws, is the misconception that spiritual laws work the same way in the physical universe, and they don't. All laws, when you think about the law of gravity or the law of electromagnetism, or we could even say like the laws of music, they pertain to their particular area. And so you don't use the laws of gravity to understand the laws of electromagnetism, and so on and so forth. And so what are spiritual laws? Well, Charles Fillmore said, and I finally agreed with this after a while, that spiritual laws are really laws of mind. And he actually meant that as capital M mind and little m mind. The distinction is in capital M mind, it's just the law. It just it explains something. Let's put it that way. But in little m mind, what capital M mind is explaining is how our little m mind works. And so they pertain to mind. They don't pertain to the other areas. And I could go into more detail, but do you guys want to add anything at this point or should I go on?
No, I think we both agree with that.
Okay, great. So the law of mind action says thoughts held in mind with feeling produce more thoughts and feelings of the same kind in mind. In the same mind, my thoughts and feelings do not directly cause thoughts and feelings in your mind. Can I influence? Sure. But can I cause? No, not so much. And aren't we glad, you know? Okay, so this law of mind action only pertains to how your mind works. Now, here's where it gets interesting. In at least one place in the historic writings of Myrtle and Charles Fillmore, they name this law of mind action the law of attraction. And it makes sense because in our mind, when we're holding a thought and feeling, we metaphorically attract those, not from outside of us, but from within our own mind and within our own consciousness. I think that's how it's gotten kind of confused. And let me give one more example. The other example I like to talk about is the law of giving and receiving. In our own minds, what I give out, I receive at the same time. In fact, what I put out is already in, and I'm growing that into my awareness, making it bigger by the law of mind action. But if I give you a pen, I now have less pen and you have more pen, and it doesn't mean I'm going to get another pen back from you or anyone else. So that this law of giving and receiving works differently in consciousness than it does in the outer realm. So this is where we get off track, and this is where the law of attraction is a big distraction.
So one of the things that we've done is separated, because this is where we see a big issue, separating law of mind action and law of manifestation, which I don't know if there's an actual law of manifestation, but we created our own version of one because people seem to think if I have the thoughts and feelings in my mind, it is going to manifest. And there are other pieces of which Bill started to refer to when he talked about Myrtle's quote. There are other things involved that create the manifestation.
And if you don't get the actions associated with what you have in mind, the law of mind action becomes what Sharon and I refer to as the law of mind auction.
Say more.
Well, if you just simply think about things without making choices and taking actions that correspond to the thinking, you've essentially gone nowhere. We refer to the same thing as good intentions. good intentions are nice, but if you don't act on those good intentions, nothing happens in the physical world.
So you auction off your ability to manifest,
right?
Is what you realize.
So you're auction off that. So that's what I want you to do, is to tie that word back in. Anyway, so I think what's really happening is not attraction. What's working is happening is affinity. And so I call it the law of affinity, meaning when I think and feel about something, that's the lens through which I'm perceiving the world around me. And that's where we get confirmation bias. And through confirmation bias, we have an affinity for seeing what we're thinking and feeling about. And the classic is, if you're thinking of a yellow Volkswagen and you want a yellow Volkswagen, when you start driving around, you tend to see yellow Volkswagens more than you had previously. And that's that whole confirmation bias thing.
So what we found missing for a lot of people is there's a step between intention and action. And that is understanding the basic principles of the environments associated with whatever your intention is. So going back to the yellow Volkswagen, just as an example, if you've had those thoughts and feelings long enough in your mind, then you've set an actual intention now that that's what you want. So of course you start seeing it, but now I have to understand the basic principles around me purchasing a yellow Volkswagen. I need to look at the costs of them. I need to explore the dealerships and the options of the ways I can get it. I got to look at the vehicle I have now. And you know, so there's all kinds of things involved. And if I don't understand that environment, then it doesn't say I can't manifest, but it's going to take me a lot longer and I'm making it much more difficult for myself.
Yes. Excellent. And I think this confusion may be also derivative of the way in which Charles Fillmore talked about it. Because today what we say is mind, idea, expression. Charles said mind, idea, manifestation. And to me, manifestation is almost always perceived as something that we're demonstrating or manifesting beyond our consciousness and beyond our physical bodies. Whereas if we do the name like we know it today, the law of expression is somewhat different than manifestation. And that when I'm holding that thought with feeling in my mind, the expression is more thoughts and feelings of the same kind in my mind. But if I'm thinking thoughts and feelings of yellow Volkswagen, I'm building up an expression of it in my, even in my body mind system, we could say, because our consciousness is not separate from our physical bodies. So that builds up a kind of oomph, a kind of head of energy behind that thing. Charles called it building up mental substance. And it's really thinking, feeling nature substance. We get this energetic pulse within us that we use to motivate ourselves to do what? To take action or to have activity. So it's really mind, idea, expression, action in some way.
And one of the expressions right before the action that you're talking about, Paul, is desire.
Yes. Well, and I believe desire is driving the whole thing. There, because you start with a little desire for something, and then when you think and feel about it more, the desire gets greater and greater and greater. So desire is fundamental to manifestation and even to internal expression. And you've heard me say we go from judgment to judgment to judgment. Well, we really go from desire to desire to desire as well, from the moment we get up to the moment we go to bed. So desire is a driving force. And of course, we relate it to the divine idea of the power or principle of love.
And when you think about it, the greater the desire we have for something, desire eventually, then the more we desire that something turns into a need we've established to fulfill that desire.
Yes. And so I think we should context this back to consciousness. As you were sharing that, Bill, it's like, so consciousness is awareness plus arousal plus motivation. And what you were talking about there, I was hearing arousal and then motivation to take action.
Yep. And the motivation is to take action for sure. Yes. Because if you don't take action, you can have all the desire you want to. You aren't going to go anywhere with that desire and turn it into an actual physical thing.
Yep.
Action.
And while it sounds obvious, I want to say this. The action needs to be in alignment with your intention. So I think about the analogy of if you're doing a puzzle, a jigsaw puzzle, and you've got a place there for a piece, that's your intention, that blank space. And the puzzle piece is your action, and it needs to fit in that spot. Yeah. And just to throw out a little practical tip for people, when you're taking actions, use the SOS technique, we call it, which stands for asking yourself the question, is this action going to support my intention or sabotage? Support or sabotage? And like if health is my intention and I'm looking at a great big piece of cheesecake with chocolate topping and fruit on it, you know, is that going to support or sabotage my intention? And that can help a wiser choice.
Right. And that sabotage arises out a conflicting desire, a desire that conflicts with your intention. And really, an intention is a kind of desire, isn't it?
Oh, strong, a strong. It's taking that desire into us, into a focus.
Focus, yes. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the key to the manifestation, and that people miss is understanding the environment and keep doing those actions that are in alignment. When you put those together with that strong intention, which comes from your thoughts and feelings that continue to fuel, then the manifestation will occur.
What I find really interesting is when I'm talking with people who believe in the law of attraction, which we believe is the law of affinity or the law of manifestation, whether you're talking to me or talking to Bill and Cher, same concept, is that those people are trying to manifest a boyfriend or manifest a car or a house or a job, these big old things, but they don't even notice that when they're thinking and feeling about dark chocolate, that the dark chocolate does not magically appear in their lives. And in fact, the dark chocolate might be in their kitchen, but it doesn't migrate from the kitchen to where they are. They have to take themselves and attract themselves to the chocolate. The chocolate isn't attracted to them.
Yep. Yeah.
This law of attraction, let it go. It doesn't work like The Secret told you. It doesn't work like a lot of people think it works. It doesn't work that way. We attract ourselves to what we desire, and that's through thought and feeling and affinity in consciousness. And we better sure have an affinity for the absolute word right now. And so we're going to rotate, pivot to the absolute word, which is based on Sunday messages appearing in the Daily Word, a copyrighted Unity publication, and has been used with permission. And so this comes from March 27th, 2022, our divine order. I skillfully use divine order to establish my life. In his book, The 12 Powers, Charles Fillmore defines divine order as mind, idea, manifestation. It is the first law of the universe. Divine order is the way all our minds work. Mind, idea, expression is the blueprint for all thoughts, feelings, and manifestation. If I am feeling stuck or bewildered, it is a sign I am unskillfully using the law of divine order. With compassion, I pause and then release any thoughts of worry, impatience, and doubt. I realize in hindsight that foundational aspects had to be in place first. This helps me to be patient and trusting. I listen with my heart, mind, trusting that I discern my path one step at a time. I skillfully use the law of divine order now. I am always using it to establish my life. I skillfully use divine order to establish my life. And friends, and so it is. And this is the Reverend Dr. Paul Hasselbeck signing off, saying thank you for listening.
This is Reverend Dr. Cher Holton saying we really appreciate you and we affirm a great week ahead.
And this is the Reverend Dr. Bill Holton. And we certainly, the three of us, invite you to divinely order your greater good this week.